Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello, and welcome to the realms of the supernatural. How the devil are you all?
So we have officially changed our name.
We have.
Obviously, we've changed the artwork, and there will be a new t-shirt design up this week. So if you want to partake in that, some of you who joined us on the live feed will have seen a little knitted alien.
Yes.
That we're hoping to send out to Patreon supporters. You know, as a freebie, just as a thank you. So, if you haven't seen that, I'll put a picture of him up on the Hangout, which will be now called Realms of the Supernatural Podcast.
We'll have to give
Hangout.
We'll have to give him a name, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anybody got any, you know, any ideas of a name? We can give him a name to him. Yeah. Name to him. Or she, or he.
So, name that alien.
Name that alien.
And it won't just be aliens, there'll be other designs as well.
Yeah, other designs, but he's our first one to be made for us.
So today we have an interview with Melissa
Tittle,
who you might know from stuff like, if you watched the Low Files, she made appearance on the Low Files. That's the Rob Lowe paranormal program.
Yeah,
she was on the Hangar, the Area 51 episode, or Area 52. She was also been on things like Hangar 1, UFO Files,
Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, she's done a lot of writing for these. Yeah, she's a new series on Gaia.
Yep.
Gaia TV, and that's Ancient Civilizations, which is definitely worth checking out. And I will be checking that out as soon as I get some time off work. Mm. I'm going to binge watch that particular series. I think the first month, I think Mrs. said the first month of Gaia is like 99 cents or some shit.
Can't get better than that.
Let's do that. Let's all do that and watch it, and the show will be enlightened somewhat. And Gaia's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's got some good stuff on it. I mean, it's got one of my, again, David Wilcock, and you've got there's loads of people on it who know the stuff.
So before we get into Melissa,
Graham Hancock, guy who's on there as well.
I thought we would do a story sent to us by, now some of you, by Anna Kenyon, but some of you may remember that I've had an encounter with fairy before, and Anna had an encounter with a fairy, and she shared that with me, and I'm going to share it with you.
It's time for Alyssa's story.
The encounter happened back in 2008. I lived in an apartment complex that had a balcony which faced a wooden area. My apartment was located in the third floor. Back then, I was a single mother. My daughters were 4 and 3 year old. This is what happened. My daughters would wake up in the middle of the night because they were screaming hysterically that a small man with his son kept knocking at their window, and they will magically come through the window into their room. This kept going on for several weeks. It was out of control since it happened every day. I thought they were having nightmares just because they were young kids. But their stories were consistent and always at the same time. Now that they are older, only one of them still remembers. But she says that when they were in the room, they were playing with their toys. Right, listen to this. This will make sense later on when I get into my encounter. Anna says, they will pick up all their clothes that were laid on the floor and go through the clothes in the closet and their dressers. They will pick up socks, clothing items, anything that was on the floor. She says that she was terrified of them because of how they looked. She only dared to look at them when their backs were facing them. They had a little bodies, a little human bodies. When they came to leave, the elder one will hold hands with the little one and jump through the window. She says, always they will hold hands when passing through the glass. I was always mystified that clothes were missing and that socks never matched, but then I thought that maybe I had left some at the daycare or maybe some at friends' houses. You know when you have small kids that that's what you believe. But there were always clothes missing and toys too. Now years later, I'm like, oh, the ah moment. All those missing toys, maybe there's something to it. So anyway, I had a friend who was very psychic and happened just jokingly to tell him what the girls were telling me and how much sleep I was losing. And he told me that the girls were in terrible danger, that indeed something was visiting them. In Central America, they call them duendes, which they lure children by playing with them. Then they are never seen again. He specifically told me that I need to move out immediately, or at least get them out of there. And I do like the whole ritual thing around the apartment, like sage. Smudging.
Yeah.
And then every window and door, oil it with olive oil and salt, sea salt. He was going to send me a special prayer while doing this, but I left it a week because the girls were going to visit their father that resides at another state, and they were going to stay with him for several weeks. He advised me not to talk about the trip to the girls or to say anything within the apartment. If I was going to pack their bags, to do it in my room with my doors closed, to keep their bags in my closet. Then that day came when I went to work and placed their bags in my car and did my daily routine like they were just going to school, and I send them for the summer to be with their father. Then a couple of nights after that, I was on my balcony drinking iced tea and listening to relaxing music and swinging in my chair, looking at the trees. There was a light breeze where the trees were moving back and forth a little bit. Then something drew my attention to the spot within the trees, right at my eye level, which meant that it was 3 stories high. There, right there, was a little man hanging, more like grabbing the branches, looking at me. He wanted me to see him. He locked eyes with me, and what I saw really spooked me, but I couldn't move. I just stayed there looking at him. The more I looked at him, the more I realized it was not a man, but more like a young being, because this was not a man nor a child. What I was looking at was something supernatural, and something that us humans are not meant to see. It was fascinating because I knew he was letting me see him. Somehow I felt in my mind questions like, where are they? Are they coming back? Since I've learned to block spirits from my lifetime of supernatural experiences, I blocked him because I knew somehow who he was. I didn't want him to know that they were coming back. I made a mental image of me living alone without them and them living with their father. It was hard to do this, believe me, the girls I love so much. Anyway, he had a weird face. His face was the shape of what I can describe as a Native American face mask, but it was not a mask, very elongated. His chin was extremely pointed and was big and not consistent with his little body. Like his face was too big for his small body. I would say he was no more than 3 feet high. His expression, if that's what you call it, like some sort of mad, letting me know that he had been in the window and knew the girls were gone. His eyes were shaped like cat's eyes, and his nose was very pointing downwards. It might sound weird, but the nose looked very devilish. It was such an awkward moment since we both just looked at each other for a few minutes. I saw little hands, just like human hands, little feet, but the feet were big, wide. No human shoe would fit them. His skin had a sheen to it, and little freckles around his cheeks and nose. His mouth was not big, nor had he any canine teeth. I would be lying if I gave you that detail, but I'd been brainstorming on the teeth because he had his mouth open and it looked normal in the inside. You see, you have to understand, he was probably about 6 feet away from me. But he had human clothes on. It was fascinating. I can still remember what he was wearing. A blue striped shirt with bottoms, a white collar and khaki pants, like a little kid's outfit. This going back to why they were taking clothes from my girls. Probably they steal clothes from other houses and from male kids. But what I don't understand is the socks. My daughter said that they loved the socks, and I can tell you that I was always buying socks. Then he slowly moved out of my sight and I was in shock. And when I was inside my apartment, I was wondering what I had seen. Some people tell me that this was a leprechaun. Others tell me that it was a devilish fairy. And others tell me that it was my imagination. But I know what I saw. I saw a little man up in a tree where there should only be trees. Then I remember I had seen that face before, some years ago. It was in one of the Ghost Hunters episodes, in which they went to Ireland. They went supposedly to the ruins of a castle, where is known to be a fairy territory. By mistake or and luck, they captured a face that, up to this day, the show cannot say what it is, but the face is what I saw up in the trees, right there in the USA, but more childlike. So that's the story, then.
Story.
So,
yep.
And Anna's sent me the picture of this fairy, if that's what you want to call it, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
And I'll put that picture up on the website.
Yep.
So there'll be a link in the show description if you want to go and see it. It'll probably be on the Hangout as well, the Realm of the Supernatural podcast Hangout now.
That's it, that's what it's called. Realms of the Supernatural Hangout.
I'll put it up there, but if you don't have Facebook, you can always go to the website. Like I say, the link to that will be in the show description. But what do you make of that? Because
elementals, nature spirits, we know they exist. You've seen them.
I've seen them. And I was pretty shocked when she sent me the picture because it was very similar to the being that I saw on two occasions. Really,
yeah. I believe in leprechauns or elves, gnomes, fairies, you know. I mean, we did a couple of stories of apparently these elves, they even take people, don't they? Keep them prisoner. So
they're after us, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think there's good and bad. You know, there's good ones and the bad.
No, I think they're all bad.
I don't think they are.
I just don't get... I
don't think they're all bad.
Like I say, shadow people, I didn't get a negative... Really, didn't get a negative from them, but these things... I got a negative from.
Yeah.
Well, and I tried to trick me.
Yeah.
She's saying her children got a negative from them. You know, they couldn't even bear to look at them.
Yeah.
There's something innate in humans when you come across these things. You know, you've seen them before and they're not. And she says that actually in a story, doesn't she? Anna says that.
Yeah.
She felt like she'd seen these things before. She knew, recognised them. And she's equating that to the Ghost Hunters episode. But to me, to my being, I really believe we, as humans, we've encountered these before. I think we probably lived at one stage
with them,
hand in hand with these things, yeah. And it's maybe in our genetics, but maybe the parasitic, you know? I don't know. But very strange. If anybody else has had a fairy encounter, you know, or gremlin or gnome, because I think a lot of these terms are the interchangeable.
Same.
Yeah,
yeah, I think the same creatures but different names.
We'd definitely like to know about
definitely. That. Yep, I think they, again, they operate on a lower frequency, and you know that they are nature spirits with nature. But again, I think they some are very, very naughty.
Mm.
And
I think
what is their trouble? Is there? I always think of them as, what is the point of taking a human prisoner? Or I mean, what do they get out of it?
Don't know. Maybe they eat us.
I can't see that.
Who knows?
With the energy.
But yeah, if you've had a story, please send it to us. I'd love to know more about these beings. This is one of the things that really fascinates me, these creatures, for sure. So, and like I say, what a fantastic story.
Yeah.
And it's not the only...
More out there. It's got to be more out there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's not the only paranormal thing that Anna's experienced. She's actually put a few of her stories up on the Hangout. So if you want to go onto the Hangout and check them out, they're on there. Just before we have Melissa on, I want to just make you aware that we have got a YouTube channel. It's called Realms of the Supernatural now, Realms of the Supernatural podcast. If you go on there, I'll try and link it to the show notes so you can go on there, subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything, and we don't, you know, but we are going to be posting some video casts up. So, you know, you may as well subscribe to it and watch the occasional video that we post up there. So, yep, so that being said, I give you...
Melissa Tittle.
First question then, I really wanted to know how you got into this field, because UFOlogy is a bit of a niche thing, isn't it? And it's you know, it's one of those things that people don't go in, a lot of people don't go into voluntary, you know, they're almost forced into it in a way. So I just wondered how you found yourself in this field.
I have always been a journalist producer, right? And when I was younger, my dad talked about how my grandfather saw a UFO over Edwards Air Force Base right before he was born. And I didn't think anything of it. And like, my family always talks about weird stuff. Like, we're not opposed to talking about weird stuff. And, you know, my dad was in the military and then also a Buddhist, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, you know, but that makes sense. In the bigger picture of things now that I'm older. And when I started going off on my own and getting hired to produce stuff, it just was really strange because all the things that were coming to me were in this field. It wasn't like I didn't seek it out. I didn't try to find the answers. It's as if it was something I had to do. And the deeper I got into the actual research of it, I thought it was something important to share with you know, tons of audiences, because it's not that I'm trying to prove that these are real or even that the government's keeping secrets, because I think that we can answer yes to both of those questions. But I think that people spend a lot of time looking at the sky because they can't find the answers on Earth. And I think diving into that concept and getting into what is out there is an important conversation to figure out what is down here. I think it's a reflection, you know, as above, so below type
indeed,
of thing.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, humans have always had a fascination with the stars and constellations.
Now it's mobile phones, always looking at the phones, not looking up at the stars.
You've got apps on your phones for constellations. Yeah. so you don't even have to look up. Phones,
you know, not to the heavens.
Yeah, well, you can't make it up, can you? But no, we have always had a fascination, and obviously a lot of monuments, you know, ancient monuments built on the earth are in star formations, etc. So again, yeah, the pyramids. Well,
yeah.
All right. Well,
do your research.
Yeah, it's back to front, but yeah, I'll give you that. So, So, obviously, there is a fascination with the stars. So, would you say that's innate in us, or would you say that's just because there's nothing else to do on a cold, dark night in a cave in southern France, etc.?
Well, probably both. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? You're like, well, you know, there aren't any cards to play, right? Yeah. So let's look at the stars. No, I think humans have this great imagination, and that great imagination turns into reality, which, you know, is a big topic right now. Are we living in a simulated universe? You know, is like, what is our reality? But I think the fascination with the stars is that I think all humans know, whether they admit it or not, that they are part of something really big. And you know, since the beginning of time, we've been trying to figure that out. You know, like right now, Mercury's in retrograde, you know, whether I believe that or not. But it sounds really good because, you know, I have a lot of shit fucked up in my life. So yeah, yeah. Now that makes sense to me. And I'm going to go with that, you know?
Yeah, blame Mercury. Fuck
yeah.
It.
Yeah. I don't know who came up with that a long time ago, but, you know, I'm going to thank them.
Somebody that messed up big time.
Yeah. Still on drugs.
Hey, look, don't chop off my head because I have to see Mercury's in retrograde. Let's just wait 3 weeks and then let's decide then.
You never know. But obviously you brought up astrology there, so I guess, you know, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't really see how it would all work, but I mean, you've brought it up, so I suppose I have to ask you whether you believe there is something to it. And obviously, I go as far as the moon, because obviously the moon has a draw on, you know, on the earth and the seas, and, you know, obviously we get the lunatic from people going crazy, and a lot of crimes are committed on a moonlit night, but obviously that's because you can see in the dark. If you're a burglar, it's ideal, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
you don't need a torch.
Yeah, so where do you stand on astrology in nutshells?
You know, I think there is some weight to it only because just like human beings in a room create certain energy and frequencies. I also think that the planets, depending on how they're aligned with where we are on Earth, like I do believe that there is some truth to that, frequencies and energy. But do I like make decisions based on my astrology chart? No, because then I'm just controlled by somebody else's interpretation of my life. But I think it's important to understand how the universe, and the planets and our existence all are connected. And I think there's some truth to that. You know, whether the reason why, you know, things are a little crazy right now is because Mercury's in retrograde, I don't really know. But I think there is some energy that Mercury gives off that definitely connects with our planet and possibly, our cells and our the way our bodies are aligned.
Mm. Well, if we're all connected, then logic says that all the planets are connected somewhere. Well, frequency and whatever.
Yeah, if we talk about if we talk about consciousness being a chemical reaction, or electronic reaction, if you like, well, a chemical, you know, electric reaction, then planets themselves could be conscious, I guess.
Of course, yeah. The living, breathing beings.
So, essentially, yeah, I think it's on some level. I mean, I'm not into all that sort of stuff, but I can go along with we are connected on, you know, like a consciousness level. I can't get away from that because so many things happen, and, you know, we're going to do a show shortly on coincidences, aren't we? And some of them, when you delve into them, are very difficult to explain. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, you've got the element of luck, but et cetera, et cetera.
As I always say, nothing happens by chance. Never, never, never.
Just coincidence.
No coincidences don't exist. Nothing happens by chance. That's it.
So,
yeah. Have you any, Melissa, have you got any personal experiences? Either with UFOs or paranormal? What really blows you away?
I haven't. That's always a question they ask me. I remember I was on a panel once, and I was the only person that had never had a UFO alien contact. And I'm like, I'm on this panel.
That'd be refreshing, though, wouldn't it?
Have you got a favourite case, then? That's something that you've seen or someone's told you about that just kind of blown you away?
Favourite case? Oh, man, I wish I was prepared for this one. I have to go into my Rolodex. Oh man, favorite case. Mm. All right, let's come back to that one. Let me think about that. Because I think I was just talking to somebody. I did. I don't know if you saw this, but I did this show with Rob Lowe. On government conspiracy stuff, and we were talking about Area 52, and I kept like telling him off camera. I'm like, I don't want to talk about the triangle crafts. I mean, they're probably just other military, like,
They're
military. I get the feeling, yeah.
So like 1990s, like I'm over it. Magnetic energy and the stuff we can't see and the other dimensional beings and all that stuff. Like that's so much more entertaining to me.
I'd go, well, just going back to the triangle things, I go as far as to say the triangle ones that we see, you know, all the time now over here and that, they're possibly man-made, but I'm not sure about the the Delta Wing one, you know, the boomerang shaped one that flew over Phoenix, that them ones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, the lights.
Yeah,
those lights.
That's slightly different. Ooh. I think. Well, I don't know, but the UFO I saw was controlled by either an artificial intelligence or an alien intelligence because it knew what I was thinking. So that takes it out of military for me because I don't see why you'd build that into a military vehicle.
So do you believe that they're all? I mean, I definitely believe in aliens, and I also think that there's many fractions and many different multidimensional beings that are always communicating with us if we're so willing.
Yeah, I do.
And stuff with crafts, but sometimes I think when you see a craft, it's actually time travelers from the future, like humans, like coming back. Because about if our technology keeps progressing, and we could fix some things that are going wrong now, wouldn't we come back?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
we wouldn't be going forward, would
we? Yeah, I don't think we'd be
coming back all the time, too.
I don't get the going back in time. I don't even know if that's really possible.
I think you can.
Yeah. But I don't think they'd want to come back, and I think they've got more interesting things to do than worry about us.
I think the real,
But interdimensional beings, I'll give you that. I think 50... maybe 60% of what we see is possibly interdimensional, especially when you start looking at shadow beings, you know, shadow people, this kind of thing. Then the fact that they always want to remain hidden, you know, and again, obviously taking a shadow appearance is going to help you with that. It's akin to being invisible almost. I think that's deliberate. I think that they're taking that form. It's a deliberate action. I don't think that's what they would look like. If you've had one over to a cocktail party, I don't think it'd come in a shadow form. It'd come in whatever it looks like, whether that's a reptilian alien or whatever. But yeah, the interdimensional beings, I definitely go along with that. But then we do have the nuts and bolts crafts as well.
Again, I
mixed bag.
Yeah, you got it right there. But I think the real, true aliens, you know, and as you said earlier, Melissa, about us, you know, being more different, you know, we're supposed to be evolved, but we're not. We're still on the, just above the animals?
Just above the rocks.
Well, just above the animals. No, I think these alien beings are looking after us. They have to, because we can't look after ourselves. That's my take. We can't look after ourselves or the planet, so that I think they're stepping in now and then too. Like, you know, little children, you know. Mm. This is a nursery. I believe this is a nursery now. And the grown-ups are like saying, okay.
I agree, but I feel like that's I feel like if you're really mommy alien, that you teach your humans to think for themselves. Hmm. So that I think there's always a fraction that's not so good.
Right? Oh, definitely. I know there's some bad ones as well. So
there's a little bit of extra. There's like another dimension of fighting over like how the humans should behave, and that's where like we need to empower ourselves a little bit. To understand what's going on, because otherwise, you know, there's people that get influenced by all these extraterrestrial beings, maybe in the wrong way.
Oh, indeed.
Just my opinion.
No, I think that's, fairly, if you look into it enough, I think that's fairly evident. I think a lot of this is mind control. I don't mean the government's mind control. I think a lot of it's in our mind, and we can control a lot of this if we put our minds to it. That works the other way as well. If you don't believe in Bigfoot, kind of, you know, you'll never ever see a Bigfoot kind of thing, you know what I mean, and that kind of stuff. Or you don't believe in ghosts, you'll never see a ghost, or whatever. And then obviously the people who do believe and all that, they tend to have the experience. And everyone says, well, of course, you've had that experience because you believe in it, you know what I mean? So it's catch-22. But where do you stand on alien abduction?
Do I think they're real, or how do I feel about the whole process?
Do you think they're real?
I do. I always say, by the way, I just remembered my favorite UFO story, but we can come back to that.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't let you off the hook.
There's people that have had trauma in their life, and sometimes those people, that maybe they didn't have an abduction story, that's just, you know, it's a situation that they can't deal with. So they, you know, have a story, but as I always say, there's a grain of truth to everything. There's so many abduction stories of people who don't know each other and have no, and some of these people aren't even people that like read up on this stuff. And so you have to ask yourself, could all of these people be making this up? And for what reason? Because if you really start looking into the abduction cases, there is so many of them, and so many of them don't seem like the kind of person that would just make something up because they want attention. In fact, they don't want attention. In fact, it's embarrassing. So, and why they're doing it, I mean, I could come up with a bunch of reasons, but I do think that it is possible and it's real.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on then, give us some of your alien agenda reasons.
Well, I think just like there's two fractions, right? I think that there's, I interviewed, and I cannot remember who it was, but I interviewed somebody about this, and there is a belief that before you come to Earth, sometimes you make contracts with these other beings to do experiments on you for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So it might have been like if you believe in that, if you believe that like you're a soul and you're reincarnated and, you know, sometimes you make deals that could happen. But I also believe that they're testing the human sample. Like, maybe they're making human hybrids. I don't know. But I also think that the human being is such a unique species because it can hold such a frequency. I hate to go back to like transformational stuff here, but I think people underestimate their own ability with their chakras and their soul. Like the human body can hold that frequency. We don't always access it. But a lot of these beings are looking for that. Like how does this work? How does this human body hold this certain kind of frequency? Because a lot of those, like the gray aliens, like everybody, they're like the bottom of the food chain. They're like the little workers. They're the ones like gathering up like people and doing these experiments, but they're not these highly advanced beings. I think actually humans are the advanced beings. We just don't know how to access it. And maybe that's why they're doing tests. And I think on the other end, if you want to get negative, they are using it for purposes of their own. I mean, if you wanted to conquer a species, you would figure out who the species was before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you could just poison the water. That'd do it. But unless they drink the water.
Yeah, but you need slaves, right? You need people to work for you, so you have to understand how they work first.
Oh yeah.
Unless these entities work on a low frequency body, because the high frequencies are coming in now, they have done for about 35 years. So obviously they've got to try find a new body. So obviously the experiment on these bodies now, trying to find a new body.
Well, they're just
to upgrade.
I mean,
because their bodies are disintegrated.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense, but they're taking a long time about it.
Because they're not advanced, are they?
Well, I don't know.
If you was an advanced person, I mean, advanced, would you need a body?
Presumably.
Well, I mean, you don't need a body if you wanted to come to the third dimensional world.
No.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll give you that.
I mean, like, you don't need a body to float around space. I mean, that kind of sucks, because, like, you know, the body, it kind of disintegrates out there a little bit.
Just about. Holds you back a bit.
Yeah. Well, once we get our minds, into a computer, once they've managed to get our minds into our consciousness into a computer, then we can pretty much go anywhere at that point, can't we? So,
how do you feel about that? I mean, I'm now asking you guys questions, but I terrifies me. Like that everything has
It shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. It's going wrong. We're going backwards. Well, in my term, we are going back. We are not going forward. We're going backwards.
Mm. Well, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'll be here when that happens. I think it's a little bit away. Mind you, saying that, things always do happen quicker than they expect. If they say 50 years, then it's normally 10. So, I don't know. But it is, I mean, it's everlasting life, so...
I wouldn't want. This is what you're here now. This is a classroom. You know, you just learn what you're going to do, then go home, then come back and do some more, and go somewhere else.
Mm.
I wouldn't like to be stuck in the same body for 400 or 500 years, maybe more. I'd be bored.
I wouldn't be stuck in your body for 10 minutes.
Very much.
Yeah. But I mean, where do you stand on reincarnation then?
I believe in that. I believe in that. Yeah. I feel. You know, again, I try to look at everything more like a journalist instead of, you know, I just believe in that because it sounds cool. I feel like, I, you know, I just, there's too many coincidences. Like if I could come on my own personal experience, there's too many things that I have like a passion for that I had never experienced. That it's just too weird, right? It's why would I feel certain things or like be afraid of swimming in the ocean because I'm going to drown if I've never been in the ocean, right? Like that's just like weird. Like why would I have that fear if it never happened? So there's just certain things that I think that like we're ingrained with because we've had other experiences throughout lifetimes. And if it is, like you said, if this really is kindergarten, if this is a school, like you would have to come back.
Yep,
if
you have to.
Your class.
Yeah.
Mm. And pass.
So uploading us into a computer might not be a great
idea. Who said they're going to upload us in a computer?
Well, that's what the next plan is, isn't it?
I don't think so. Mm. Unless the next plan is to get rid of us. They don't want us either. That's another story.
Yeah. So how many... So given you're interviewing people, etc., how many races of alien would you say are in visitation?
I would say like 9 or 10 different races that are coming here. And the higher the frequency that human beings are like, you know, more human beings that are raising their frequency, they're in touch with more beings that are less like arriving in crafts and poking people. You know, they're like different kinds of beings that are coming because we can see them. We can feel them. We can be in contact with them. We can receive their message. And, not to go back to ancient civilization type stuff, but I think that's like the thing. It's like, I think every human is like, wow, that's so cool. Look how ancient it is. There's more to that. It's the same thing. It's like we have to be able to see. And I think the more that we evolve, we just become more exposed to different kinds of beings because they can now be in contact with us. Because if you read a lot of these ancient texts and you analyze the carvings and the way the buildings, they're in contact with beings that a lot of us can't see today.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so advanced that they were in contact with that energy and they got that guidance. And so that's why we're all like, oh my God, is it a myth or is it real? And I think that it was real and it happened. And I feel like that's where we need to go. Mm. And those beings are important for our involvement.
I think frequency has a lot to do with this. I mean, probably some drug taking might help.
Depends when you take the drug, what kind of frame of mind you're in at the time.
Yeah, but always the ancients, it was the shaman and et cetera, wasn't it? So it was the people who had this thing. And then obviously you go back to frequency and this the right frequency, even that could be like music playing or chanting or humming, this kind of thing, or even, you know, like a singing bowl, that kind of stuff.
And
that just raises the frequency or whatever. And obviously we've had Freddie Silver on who told a story about being in one of the pyramids.
Great Pyramid.
Was it Great Pyramid?
He tells a story where they were like meditating and these these beings showed up. They're all in black.
Yeah.
Like that one.
Yeah. Come out the walls. Yeah. Yeah.
Come out of the walls. Holy fuck.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? And that was through chanting, wasn't it? I think he said it was all in there chanting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and whether it's hard for us to say there was alien, but they're obviously alien in the fact that they're not human, are they?
No.
So, frequency again, you know, and whether that's... do you think a lot of this then, going back to the ancient civilizations, because I think all this is linked in a roundabout way, do you think that this is knowledge that's been hidden from us or, you know, kept secret from us, maybe a better way to say it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why there's things called mystery schools, right? Mm. I mean, if you were a priesthood and you thought, hey, why do we have to share this with other people? I mean, we can just tell the people what to do and then we can have the power. I mean, that's like a human thing to do, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like, say, because we always talk about taking reincarnation out of the Bible, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that was a plan. I think, there's been times in history where leaders try to kind of abolish that and kind of open the doors and say, hey, you all have access to this information. And then they're quickly shut down.
Yeah.
They're quickly, gotten rid of because it breaks the whole system. I mean, what would a system be like if we were all just as powerful as the next person? I don't think that was the agenda of any beings that came here to teach the humans these these things, you know, but, you know, humans are like, yeah, well, you know, it'd be easier if someone else could till my garden and I was drinking, on the patio. And the way to do that is to have power over them.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, this whole thing, the Illuminati is such like this big term, right? Like, oh, they're in the Illuminati, right? but I think it does exist because it's people that understand how to use their, this knowledge. Mm. And they're, I mean, if you had access to it, why wouldn't you use it too? But it's just not a well-known thing.
Yeah.
It's not like common. You don't go to kindergarten and learn some of this stuff. You just learn how to read and write and fit into a system.
You learn how to obey, yeah.
Yeah, obey the bell. Yeah. That's when the bell goes off.
Yeah.
Obey the bell.
I mean, see which ones follow orders and which ones don't. And the ones that don't end up in the army, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. But,
true. That's true.
Yeah. Well, they always say, don't they, that most soldiers are poorly educated kind of thing. Obviously, they get an education in the army, but I don't know if that's coincidence. Again, coincidence.
There we go. Yeah.
Is this the next show?
Yeah, well, we've done half of it today, haven't we?
Just about.
But obviously, then there's bigger mysteries, isn't there? There's no bigger mystery than, obviously, possible life in the universe, although that's been proven on more than one occasion by NASA's own experiments, but that's another story. But and possibly wreckage that's fell to Earth. But where do you stand? Because for me, the whole Roswell thing, obviously, whenever you talk about UFOs, that's the first thing people go to and that. For me, I'm not convinced of the whole Roswell thing. And I'm more not convinced, if you like, that if there was a craft that we've still got, or you guys have still got control over that craft. Because I think if you're talking about an advanced civilization with the capability of space travel, et cetera, they would more than likely have the capability to recover that ship, and there wouldn't be much we could do about it. So this back engineering aspect from that, where do you stand on
that as well?
Roswell. Where do I stand on that? So I do believe something crashed. I believe it's part of the gray alien race, which again, I don't think they're very advanced. They're just worker bees, if you will.
That's why the vehicle crashed, Melissa, because not very advanced.
Would you? Yeah. Well, I suppose
you thought... Like, compute, crash in desert,
yeah,
now.
That's it.
Well,
there's no backup plan, you see. No plan B.
I mean, when you say... Just to make it simple for people, when you say that they're the lowest, the bottom of the pecking order kind of thing, these greys, do you see them as biological entities or maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, okay.
I do. They're not robots. They're biological entities, but they're created by other. They're if these other races out there, they have the ability to genetically clone and create other races to work for them, right? And, if you talk to some people, like I just interviewed this guy in France, Anton Parks, who I'll be doing a new series with soon. I'm working on it right now. You know, he channels a lot of these ancient beings and different races that existed in the solar system millions of years ago. And he goes through how these races created the next race and the next race and the next race. It's the same thing. It's not just humans, right? It's this like ingrained, well, if I can create life, I'm going to create a life that obeys me so that I make my life easier, right? And then that lineage is like, screw these guys. I'm going to create a lineage that obeys me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so eventually we get to Neanderthals and humans and you know, in his opinion. And in that mix, like, you know, I'm going off of his work, that they all have these like gray aliens that are just like the workers, right? They just do stuff for them. And they don't really have a soul. They're not operating on a level like some of these other races where they have a consciousness and all that kind of stuff. So when I look at Roswell and I like his work. I think it's interesting just to kind of go back and like way back in time to the lineage of maybe where we are. I would say that something did crash and it was one of those worker bees. And they did recover something and they tried to figure out how it worked, which is probably like a vortex energy, and try to manipulate that. But do we still have it, maybe. I don't know. Do we have an alien? I don't think so. In fact, I don't think that if there was a being in there, it even lived. And I think that we, you know, Area 51, and if there is an Area 52 in Utah, I think that what's happening is that they're making very high-tech weapons and craft that we just don't know about. And are there aliens? Eh, I don't think there's aliens there anymore.
Where do you stand on space travel itself then? Because you get, you know, obviously we hear the rumors that we're not allowed to leave the planet, etc. So what's your gut feeling on that?
You mean, have we, is there a secret space program? Is that what you mean?
Well, is there? I mean, it's a catch-22, because if there is, then we are allowed to leave the planet. So do you think, because obviously people say that a particular...
force field.
Yeah, or aliens don't want us out in space, and they've made that clear, you know, the moon landings, etc. So, you know, first of all, I guess you sounds like you do believe there's a space, secret space fleet out there.
Yeah, you know, I feel that it's my brother is actually an engineer, so we talk about this a lot. We have like super nerdy conversations. Everyone's come to my house for like super nerdy conversations over dinner. And we talk about this a lot, and I said, you know, it's just so weird because here we are doing these great things where, you know, all of a sudden in like 10 years, we went from having just basic rockets and planes to all of a sudden we're going to the moon, you know, 10 years, whoop, we're going to the moon. And then after that, it just got, we're still using the same V2 rockets and shooting people up in these tin cans.
Yeah, on fireworks.
Giant fireworks.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, there has to be some advancement in that. And, you know, I don't go down the train as far as some people, but I do believe that there is a fraction that is secret, and they are, you know, going out there and seeing what's out there. And I think those people are in touch with other extraterrestrial life, and the world has not been ready for what they have seen and who they are talking to. And I mean, if you can even like look at our media right now. I mean, for the last 10 years, there's so many alien movies, TV shows. The whole topic is just blowing up. That's not a coincidence. It's not because people are just interested. It's because it's out there. It's making people think. And I think that's just a setup for getting ready when something does happen, like, oh, it's not so crazy. You know, people like back when the Battle of LA happened, you know, people were just having heart attacks because they thought there was an alien ship happening. Like, I don't think that would happen these days. I think people would be like, oh yeah, I saw that in a movie. Like they would, their minds used to it.
Oh yeah. We all say that, don't we? If the news came on tonight saying, extraterrestrials have landed on the White House lawn or something, everyone would be like, what? And then as soon as the news had finished, they'd be like, right, when's Walking Dead on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course that would happen. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They're like, we can go to the White House. It's our first stop.
Oh, yeah. I think there are better places to land, can't you?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. Yeah, not there.
A bit more scenic some places. But do you think, they hadn't already been, like, we assume that they hadn't already been there as well, you know what I mean?
Which we never have.
Yeah. But, where do you stand on stuff like Bigfoot? Because I only ask you that because he gets tied in with the UFO phenomenon quite a bit now. People see him on spaceships.
Yes.
Not necessarily flying it, but just aboard.
Inside the craft itself.
That kind of stuff. So, and obviously then you've got Bigfoot sightings where there's a strange light, whether that's UFO or not, I'm not sure. But obviously, what do you think?
Well, you know, I used to laugh at this whole Bigfoot thing because I think it's like, what else can we find that's weird in the world? But I started actually doing research on it, and this guy that I was just talking about that I interviewed in France and some other people that I was talking to believe that the Bigfoot is this really ancient race that's been on planet Earth before Homo sapiens. And, they were created by another race to kind of be the shepherds of the earth. And, some of them are still here, or they come to visit. They have like jobs to do, but the more research I did, and I stopped laughing at this whole Bigfoot thing, cause I used to be like, oh my God, seriously, we're talking about Bigfoot? This is so boring. the more I got, I started like interviewing these people that had this other theory about it. They're actually this, like, they're like the Wookiee, you know, like everybody needs a Wookiee. Like they're here to actually be shepherds of the earth, and they always have been. And so I think that, you know, according to some of these other people I've interviewed, that they come in and off planet all the time. And what their jobs are now, I don't know, but their jobs, like, back, even millions of years ago, was to be shepherds of the earth, to kind of keep the peace, if you will.
Yeah, like a guard, like a guardian spirit or an elemental spirit.
Kind of gardeners, aren't they? They're not
to harm humans or anything like that. They're really supposed to be more of these the guardians of the planet. Mm.
Yeah,
according to some of the research I was reading.
Yeah, well, it makes sense as much as anything, doesn't it? So, yeah. I guess there's no definitive answer.
Yeah. So we are talking millions of years and all, not thousands. We're talking millions.
Oh yeah, we've been here more than 100,000 years. Because
we've been here millions of years. Millions.
Come on.
Different forms.
Millions.
Millions. Absolutely. Well, I
mean, depends who you talk to, right?
Yeah.
If
you've got a scientist who wants to keep his mortgage and keep his mouth shut, then it'll be 100,000 years. You know, keep taking a paycheck. No problem there. So, but you know, if you go into really big detail, then you're going into millions of years. And it's proved you can go back. All you got to do is research. It's quite
good. Right.
Mm. Yeah. Don't jump in a time machine. Jump in the bell.
See?
The bell, yeah. That's good
stuff. Who believes in a time machine? See, it's possible.
Yeah, well. Where would you go? No, I think going forward. I wouldn't go back, would I? I'd go forwards, wouldn't I?
Why?
I wouldn't want to go back, would I?
Well, I mean, if you go back, then you can figure out where you are now. You could have all the secrets. You'd be running the planet. Wouldn't you go back to get all that information?
No.
Nah. I'm not sure. I think looking at how some people get into power, it makes me wonder if they haven't done that. But, I'd go forward, definitely. But, well, I mean, but then if you go forward, you're leaving everybody behind, aren't you?
Well, you want to see how it works out, the planet, don't you?
Mm.
Is it going to go belly up, or is it going to go...
Well, it's just a matter of time. I was going to finish with disclosure, but I just wanted to bring up your favourite case again before I forget.
Oh, yeah, right. There was this case, I wrote this episode for Hangar One.
Yeah.
Another show that I should tell you why I'm on that show in the first place. So my, I was a supervising producer on that show, and the owners of that company flew me to all these like UFO conferences looking for like females, because there's not a lot of females. I mean, there's Linda Moulton Howe, who's amazing.
Yep.
She's excellent. I mean, that she's just like a walking encyclopedia of like every case. And I came back and I'm like, well, I found this like hippie girl. And there's this one person. They're like, you know, we're just going to put you on camera because you research this stuff anyway, as much as they do. So, and I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, you know, I wrote the show, so it's cool.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? So that's kind of why I'm on that show, but it is true. I mean, I do spend a lot of time being a super nerd about it. So there's this case I came across, and I'm always fascinated, you know, maybe because it's, you know, my dad told me that, you know, my grandfather, who was in the Air Force, saw a UFO over Edwards Air Force Base before my grandfather, or my dad was born. And so it's kind of like, is it a sign, right? You get into all this stuff in your head. And I thought, you know, my dad has this theory that like these UFOs show up at places of like, you know, where there's nuclear weapons. But I came across this story that happened in Vietnam. I think it was 1967 or 68, is the Mekong Delta. There's several ships. So there was like the Allies, there was an Australian ship, and then there was a couple U.S. ships. And, you know, the North Vietnamese don't have jets. You know, they're in tunnels. They strategically won that war by being invisible, but they weren't in the sky, like flying huge crafts and shooting people. You know, they don't have that technology. So here, this, American ship is, you know, doing their patrol, and all of a sudden this craft comes out of nowhere and starts shooting at them. And, so, you know, they're, you know, I'm picturing this like a movie. They're trying to go as fast as they can, and they're shooting back. but the thing has some kind of force field. So all the bullets and ammunition that they're shooting at this craft is like ricocheting and coming back to them. And in the process, there's this Australian ship, the Hobart, that ends up getting hit by this craft, right? And two people die on that ship. It became this huge story. And the Australians are like, why are you blowing up our people? Yeah. We're here to help you. And they're like, no, it was a craft. It was this whole thing. It was like published in the newspaper and everything. And they had to apologize and they had to come up with some story about, you know, it was an accident. They couldn't say like in, you know, they couldn't publish like, yeah, it was this weird UFO and they still couldn't figure out where it came from. Like, you know, was it the Russians working with the North Koreans? Do they have strange new technology? But, they still hadn't figured it out, but it was almost like this battle between these two countries because, like, you know, they couldn't really say what happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a huge case, but it was really fascinating because, you know, you hear about UFO sightings, but this was like an actual battle and people that died on the Hobart on the ship.
I wonder why it was just once.
Right. It's such a the story does not make any sense. Mm. So it's like either somebody has just a rogue craft that they're just flying around being like, hey, you know what'd be really fun today? Let's like go and play war with the Americans and the Australians. And they're like, that's a great idea. It doesn't make any sense. But they don't have any explanation for it either. It just kind of got hushed up and thrown under the rug. I mean, it's like, I like stories like that because there really is no answer. Mm. It's just very strange.
Yes.
Why there? Why that area? Like, what, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard a lot of military people talk about seeing craft, whether that's grounded or in the sky, you know, when in the course of action.
Engaged. Never to.
No. Normally it's.
It's a chase, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of them are on the ground when they see them. And then obviously shoot off into space or whatever. So I don't know. Something about war that brings them in, you know, makes them interested, curious. And you can go right back to you know, the ancient like Indian texts tell you stuff like that, don't they?
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got the battle, Neanderthal battle in what was it, 15th century?
Ooh, yeah.
Over Germany. Two warring races of UFOs. That makes you see. I'm always a bit worried about UFOs with guns on them because.
You know, advanced another.
You don't sound very peaceful if you're building ships with guns. I mean, we would, wouldn't we? If we went into space, if we had a spacecraft, you know, it could go anywhere, not just on a firework. We'd arm it, wouldn't we?
You'd have to. You've got to protect yourself.
Mm.
Right?
So, well.
Unless you've got a speaker out saying, we come in peace, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll
try. That might be effective,
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, tried that. That didn't work.
No, it didn't.
So I wanted to end on disclosure then, whether you think it'll happen in your lifetime.
I do, actually. You know, granted, if I live another 30 years, which I probably will, I think like 30 years I think that they will make themselves known. Mm. I don't think that the government is going to be like, hey, so today we're telling you the truth. I think they're just going to make themselves known, honestly.
Yeah, I wonder who's in control of that situation. You know, whether it's the aliens or whether it's us. You know, putting them off.
So I believe it's us. I think it's us.
I still think we're waiting for the oil to run out.
No, none of that.
So
they wait until the Vatican get flattened. That's when they can go in. Flatten the Vatican, and they can move in. Then not a problem.
Yeah, but the current Pope is kind of admitting that aliens exist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's yeah.
Well, yeah. Because you got to baptize. He's going to baptize him, isn't he? So you got to get in there first, haven't you? Just in case.
Well.
Yeah, but he has a job to do.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it. Destroy religion, then maybe we can move forward. Hopefully, move forward.
No, I don't think it's that. I honestly think it's the oil, because. Always come back to disclosure will happen when, because at the moment you disclose that these craft are interstellar, etc., etc., then you have to have zero point energy at that point. You know, so to make sense of it, because we that's the first things people will be asking, well, how they're doing it, because we've been told it's impossible, blah, blah, blah. So if we're still going, you know, filling the cars up and filling this up and that up with oil and that, it's that's would have to stop overnight. And the people in charge, not going down the Illuminati Avenue, but most of the people with influence have money, and most of them, it's oil, isn't it? So...
Right, right, and I agree, because we already have these devices for free energy. It's not like a new thing. It's been out there for years. It can happen. It's not, but you're right. It's a total interest type thing. And again, we got to be bigger than the system. Aliens or no aliens, even when they arrive, we've got to be able to not look for a new religion, right? Okay, so let's just say they arrive and then all the religions, it's like, okay, well, do we need those religions anymore? Because obviously now we have something else that's like really powerful. Like, we can't always be submitted to something. It's like this thing that we humans are constantly waiting for the next to obey. We have to convert that.
It was that philosopher who said that if there was no God, humans would feel the need to create one.
Of course.
But that was essentially it. But you brought up the new religion earlier on in the interview when you talked about this this hologram. Are we living in a hologram, et cetera, et cetera. That is going forward going to be the new religion, because it's sort of one that's sort of unprovable. So,
well, that sounds great to me, because it really is a holodeck, isn't it?
No,
it's not a holodeck.
No,
to you?
No,
I think it is.
No, too many flaws.
No flaws. Look at the movies. I mean, the Star Trek movies are telling you there. You know, you go in a holodeck, yeah, and you've got certain settings. Well, you say you have a fight. You know, you can't get hit, but again, the settings, different settings. That makes sense to me.
And that's Star Trek, that font of knowledge.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going in. A lot of movies tell you things.
I don't disagree with that.
Roddenberry, the guy who wrote Star Trek, he even says in an interview that he got that all from a download, from a channeling session.
Yeah,
he channeled it.
The whole thing is completely channeled. So who's he speaking to?
And where's the blueprints for the ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, really, come on, dude.
Yeah, get with it, Lee, get with it. Absolutely.
Well, it's been fantastic having you on. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Melissa, it's been brilliant.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you, you know, what you're going to be working on next, etc.?
Yeah, of course. Just www.gaia.com. Again, I think I don't want to be this like this pitch for my network that I work for, but all my work right now is there, and it's, I think it's like 99¢ for the first month if you want to check out some of the programming. But Ancient Civilizations is on there. We have 2 seasons, so you can just binge watch it if you're interested. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on the Secret Space Program and a lot of other weird stuff. So if you want to check it out, please do.
Well, I'm definitely a weirdo, so I think 99¢ in doesn't sound like a bad deal to me. Well, yeah, thank you very much again for coming on, and have a great Easter. Yeah.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a great Easter.
Take care.
Take care. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Well, they've gone. Though, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.